Har du et enkeltpersonforetak eller en liten bedrift? Da du sikkert lei av å høre meg snakke om hvor enkelt det å sende faktura med fiken. Så vi gir oss her, fordi vi liker enkelt. Fiken, superenkelt regnskap. Prøv gratis på fiken.no.
Grunn nummer 39. 50% priskutt på bleier med æ.
Hos Rema 1000 satser vi alt på å gi deg Norges råeste bleiekutt. 50% priskutt på alle bleiestørrelser og typer. Alt fra Pampers og Libro til Level. Maks 5 pakker med priskutt per handletur. Bare husk å aktivere kuttet i æ-appen.
Rema 1000. Alltid lave priser.
Welcome back to the podcast, my friends. I'm super happy to be back here and really happy that I can keep this momentum going with weekly recordings. That was my goal, and I know that sometimes life gets in the way, but this is a big priority for me, and I love podcasting and keeping this medium alive for you guys, because we've had such good conversations lately and you've shared with me your takeaways from the podcast, and it makes it feel very full circle to create in this way, and actually really, really important to share the things that I have to share, the downloads that I get, the information that I receive. And I feel like, honestly, it passes through me, of course, from my own stories, from my own experiences, but I always get this intuitive nudge of what the topic needs to be, what's important right now, when to do it, etc., etc. So it's funny, like the practice of podcasting itself is to me a strong combination of intuition and structure. So it's the feminine meeting the masculine. And the structure part is like, okay, the format, it's going to be a weekly podcast, this many minutes or hours, and the setup, like which platforms and all of that stuff. And then the feminine part is, once you have that framework, what's going to be created inside of that? What's going to be the topic? And that's where the flow can come in. So I love working like that. And it's honestly one of the bigger topics in my life the past years, is finding that good combination between those two in everything that I do, because sometimes we can float too far into the only the feminine, where everything is like how you feel and flow, and it's beautiful, but also needs to have framework and something to hold it, something to contain that energy, especially when it comes to business. Yeah. So that's just a little bit of what's like, you know, a long-term topic for me in my life. And it actually is very related to today's podcast, because today we're going to talk about my favorite spiritual practices that I do, that I've done for years, and what keeps me connected to something bigger. And this is such a fun topic. And I know that you guys also love to talk about these things. We talk a lot about this in the DMs on Instagram. We share signs. We share our spiritual numbers. We share about astrology and all of these things about crystals. So today we're going to go and dive in. And we're going to share a lot of stuff with you that I have never shared before. So it's going to be fun. And before that, I want to give a little life update. I like to keep you along, take you along in where we're at. So this week, today when I'm recording this, it's Thursday. It's actually 25th of April, 25 de abril. It is Portugal's National Day. And we're officially celebrating the start of the democracy 50 years ago. Annette and I did some deep dive into the history of Portugal. And many of you know, but many of you don't know, that we have a Portuguese family. Our grandmother and our whole family on grandmother's side is Portuguese. And so we found it extra interesting to learn about Portugal. And we actually found out something shocking, which is that women have only been able to vote in Portugal for 49 years. And it used to be under a military dictatorship, And I find that learning stuff like this just explains so much about the culture, how the country is today, people, and, you know, generational trauma and things that have been passed down through generations that still affect people today. So we've been nerding a little bit on the history of today's date. And yeah, Annette is here with Rafe, her son, my sister Annette. She's currently on maternity leave, but she made her way here to Portugal from Norway. And we are super grateful that she could have some time to come and visit us. It's so meaningful every time we get to connect with both of our babies. Especially this very special first years of their life, because they grow and change so quickly at this time. It's not like when me and Annette see each other that, I mean, we haven't changed so much in between every time. We also do, of course. We keep changing, keep evolving. But these little babies, they grow so, so fast. And there's so much development happening in this time. So every time we get to spend some days or weeks or time together, we're super grateful for it. And it's been so cute to see the two little boys together. The first days, Luca, my son, was a bit sick. He had a fever, so he was out, was tired. So I felt like he didn't really realize, he didn't fully take in the fact that Rafe was here. Also, he's only 1 year old, so I'm not expecting him to understand everything that's going on. But as soon as he felt better again, the morning that he felt really good, he woke up straight into Annette's room, into bed with Rafe, and started to cuddle Rafe, which was the cutest thing we've ever seen. And then he takes the big brother role where he's like pulling his clothes, poking his eye, tries to crawl on top of him, and proper big brother situation, which is so funny because I'm the little sister in Annette and my sisterhood, if you can call it that, sister relation. But with our little boys, the cousins, it's the opposite way around. And we really see that Luca is already taking that big brother role, and it's just so funny. And so we've spent our days, I've been obviously working a bit less while they've been here so that we can have some time to explore. We've been to the beach. We've just been a lot outside in the garden. Annette and I have been surfing. We've been cooking. And honestly, the rest of the time is spent on feeding small humans, changing their diapers, putting them to sleep multiple times a day at night, and taking naps to recover from sleep deprivation. So it's not like we plan to do a whole lot, but we value the time together. So that's where we're at. She's still here now. They're resting for a bit. And that's where we're at. So just super happy to be able to have some quality time. So guys, I hope that you are feeling good today, no matter which day that you're listening to this, and that you're open to dive into some spiritual goodies. So this episode came to me today in my meditation when I was doing one of my favorite spiritual practices, which is meditating. As I shared in the past week's episode about sensitivity, I am honestly so sensitive. I take in so much energy from people around me, and having visitors like we have now, and I also have visitors of family, my partner's family last week, I take in a lot of what's going on for everyone. And so doing my meditation and taking naps or doing the things that I'm going to share today is one of my tools to still feel good, to keep energized, to be in my own energy while having a lot of people around me. And I know so many of you reached out to me saying like, oh my gosh, this is me. I am just as sensitive as you. I haven't understood before what's going on, but now I finally understand, because sometimes you just need someone to put the words to explain the experience that you've had. And that's happened for me many times before. So I've gotten into these practices because I have been struggling so much with this sensitivity, that it led to this period of a lot of anxiety that I shared with you in the last few episodes. Go back and listen to them if you haven't, because I share more of the full story there. And at periods of my life, it was so frustrating to always feel like I was just drowning in like exhaustion or just lack of clarity. Like everything got so cloudy and muddy when I just wasn't in my own energy. It was just this mix of emotions and chaos and feelings and thoughts, and just like, oh, this comes from them. And I didn't understand it at the time. And so the combination of that, and I think this deep, deep, deep knowing of that there must be something more out there. So I think a few years back, I was just a bit miserable with how I was living. I wasn't happy. I didn't feel like I was making a difference. I felt like I was just doing a bunch of stuff and it didn't really matter and it didn't make me happy. It just made me tired. And there was just this lingering feeling of like, this can't be it. This can't be how I'm supposed to live. Is this how I'm going to just keep on going for the rest of my life? It doesn't make any sense to me. I know that there must be something more. It must be possible to have a joyful life, to be connected, to find meaning. And I think just that intention, whether you set it in intentionally, like clearly, directly stated out loud to the universe, or just keep thinking that, you are calling in to be shown that there is something more out there. And that's what happened to me through, honestly, going first to a full rock bottom, quitting my job, feeling like shit, moving countries, trying to figure it out. But with this intention of like, there must be something more out there. It must be able to be better than this. And when I let go of all the concepts of all the things that I thought that I had to do, little by little, I kept getting these small aha moments, these glimpses of a day-to-day life that I felt like was so much more juicy, so fulfilling. It made so much more sense to me that I'm actually allowed to feel good. Like I can actually wake up in the morning and be excited for my day, which I didn't used to be. I used to go to bed dreading that I had to go to school or to work all the next day, doing something that I didn't want to do, talk with people that I didn't want to talk to, and then go for a workout, be exhausted, cook a quick dinner, and then go to bed and do it all over again. And then after I let go of the things, I quit my job and moved countries, let go of a lot of misaligned relationships, these glimpses kept coming of like promising ways of living, if I can call it that. And so I started to dive in through the spiritual world, through books. And books have been life-changing for me, and I want to share some of those books today. I think it's easier if I put them in the description, but I think one of the first spiritual books that I read was The Secret, which so many of us had as that first spiritual book, and it's opening like a whole new world. And then following The Secret is The Greatest Secret of the same author, Rhonda Burns, which changed my life. And I think this book is something that I think about almost every week, the things that I learned in there about. It's a lot about handling emotions and how emotional processing and Yeah, how processing emotions actually is one of the biggest spiritual practices that we can do, because it leads to clarity. So that is one of my favorite books. And then I also love the book Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, which also changed my life. And I think those are the three that I've noted down here that I wanted to share with you guys. And also The Magic by Rhonda Burns, which I'm currently reading. And if you're following on Instagram, we are into the 28-day gratitude challenge in this book. So The Secret, The Magic, and The Greatest Secret are all about the spiritual laws of the universe, mainly the law of attraction, which is basically that you attract what you are vibrating at the same frequency as. So in The Magic, it's all about practicing being the frequency of gratitude in order to attract more abundance into our life. And it's a beautiful book because it also explains how we can be blocking abundance by being in a negative frequency of always complaining, of never having enough, of things not being good enough, tearing ourselves down. So it's actually incredibly healing when it comes to also our self-image and our self-worth and perfectionism, as we talked about, because it forces you to realize that you can't keep tearing yourself down if you want to be able to feel good about yourself and your life and attract more beautiful things. You can't keep nagging on yourself like us perfectionists often do. So with the book, we learn to practice gratitude, appreciation for everything in our life, everything from relationships to money, to our job, our colleagues, to everyone in our life, even the people that we don't like, our health, and ourselves. So it's an amazing book. And I think books can really open our way of seeing things in a completely different way. And I think that we get more than what we are just reading. We get an energetic transmission from the author who have had some connection to the universe or to spirit or to source or whatever we want to call it. So I believe we get an energetic download, we get codes, we get everything through a book, and that goes for everything. Because the main thing is that everything that we see is energy. And the books led me along, I think, to taking meditation more seriously as a spiritual practice. So meditation has been a tool for me not only to regulate my nervous system and regulate and balance my energy, my mood. It even changes our hormones. But it's also an amazing spiritual practice if we want to receive signs, if we want to receive guidance, if we want to clear energy, if we want to visualize and bring in a vision of the future into our now. Meditation is, it's like this dimension that you can tap into, go into, and you can, it's like a canvas you can create. It's so powerful. And a while back, I used to dive really deep into Joe Dispenza meditations, which I still love to do. But it's not that often now, honestly, after having a baby, that I meditate for 45 minutes, which is the main Joe Dispenza meditation is that long. But the reason I did it was because I kept seeing the results. I would visualize something and then with patience, I would see that it would just unfold after taking aligned action. But meditation can also be a 10-minute thing where we put on a timer and we listen to the sound of our breath. It can be so many different things. There's so many ways to meditate, and it's like this term that describes such a huge practice and many ways of doing things. But I think it's one of the easiest or simplest spiritual practices that we can get into because it's available anywhere, anytime, absolutely for free. And it can be a portal way for you to connect with something bigger, if that's something that you want to. So I use meditation for lots of different things in many different ways. Sometimes just to calm down or to send energy back. Other times I ask for signs and for guidance, and I will receive, after practicing for a long time, I will receive signs and I will use them and trust them and take action on them in order to build a stronger relationship and to, yeah, this is the thing, guys. So I've written down here, trust. In order to receive anything in any of the spiritual practices, trust is the foundation. So I think that, like, we can go into it and be super skeptical, but we still need to trust in order to receive guidance, because it is a relationship, you know, you have to give something to get something. So if I would go into these meditations, ask for signs, but never believe it would be happening and not trust that it's actually a sign, then I might as well not bother doing it, because I don't think I'm going to receive anything or use it for anything good. And then there are other spiritual practices, like more physical, actually also meditation, but more physically set up, like dancing, moving intuitively, or even walking. To me, those are also spiritual practices. They can be, if we want them to be. And they can be powerful tools for alchemizing energy, for processing emotions. And I think that all these things are intertwined. Because I think that if our energy is blocked, if it's murky, if it's full of other people's stuff, if it's just chaotic in our energy field, I don't think that we can receive any guidance. So I believe that sometimes, instead of sitting down to meditate, it's more needed just then and there to move stagnant energy. And I think that we need to use our intuition for when to do which type of practice. So you just need to listen to yourself, trust, try, take a step, take the action, and see what happens. So if you're like, bing, I need to go for a walk. Okay, do it. Honestly, received some of my biggest downloads, my best ideas, my strongest clarity, like just knowing of what I need to do out for a walk or after or during training, during exercise, during movement. And then one of the things that I love to do is asking for a sign. I already mentioned asking for a sign in a meditation, but I also believe that we can ask for a sign to show up in our day-to-day. For example, when we're making a big decision. And I'm not saying that we need to trust a whole big decision on a sign, but I love to support an intellectual decision, something that makes rational sense, with spiritual knowing, with intuition. And that is exactly what I did when we purchased this house that I now live in. I did obviously all the financial planning, all the research, all the knowing the area, getting to know the house, diving into the documents, comparing with other houses around, double checking all the numbers, checking the history of the purchases the previous times, doing all of that stuff that we, like, in the physical material world need to do. But then I love to add on a touch of magic, which is asking for a sign, or just simply trusting that knowing. Like, when I first saw this house, it was actually on FaceTime with my partner. But the second he showed me the garden, I was like, bing, I just got that feeling that this is the house, and I just knew. And we've been looking for a little while, but not very long. But it was just the clarity, like before even visiting the house. And then I asked for, before visiting the house physically for the first time, I asked to receive a sign, like, really, universe, show me if this is the house that we're going to buy at this very moment. And then I entered the garden, and the first thing I saw was a white butterfly, which has been one of my signs for a very, very long time. I have many different signs, but this is one of them. And it just confirmed to me that feeling that I had. And this is one of the ways that I love to play with the universe, through animals, through like butterflies. Nature is highly, highly spiritual place. It can be if we want it to be, if we trust it, if we look for it, if we go there. And then it was taking like the scary, scary, scary leap of faith, trusting all these signs, trusting the knowing, and taking the aligned action. And it has shown to me to be an amazing decision, both financially and in the energy, in the feeling that I still have living here. Yes. And then another thing that I love to do that we actually did yesterday in the membership, we usually do it monthly in combination with our group mentoring, is pulling cards. And cards have been around for a very long time in the spiritual world. I think tarot is one of the oldest card decks. Tarot has now evolved into being many different types of tarot, many different authors and illustrators. But the idea of tarot has been around for a very long time. And it is like you can receive guidance through these cards if you trust that they're speaking to you, if you set the intention, if you clear the energy around the deck, if you pull the card, you connect to it, you can use it for your guidance. And as with everything, I like to take everything with a pinch of salt, and honestly, not too seriously, just like having fun with it. Saying that, I have had some card readings in the past where I pulled a card that has really scared me, and I've been like, oh my God, I don't want this to happen. Or like when you put when your imagination gets a little bit too creative. For example, the card says like, oh, a challenge is going to come up. I'm like, ooh, oh no, I don't want a challenge to come up. And then I'm overthinking it and kind of like messing up the whole purpose with the card reading, which was just to have a little bit of fun and to feel connected. But yeah, that's how it is to be a sensitive soul. And I think another thing that I wanted to mention in terms of spiritual practices is something to do with sound, because to me, spirituality has a lot to do with our senses. So both, actually all of our senses, and the sense of, I think that we all connect with our, with the universe through different senses, and different senses will be stronger for different people. But for me, something that has been very powerful in the past has been sound baths or gong baths. And we know that sound carries frequency, and we know that sound has the potential to trigger emotions. We know that just by listening to music, we will feel in a bunch of different ways. And in these sound baths, they can set up the sound bath to be like highly healing for different kind of things. And when I've gone through some struggles, I remember being to this really powerful sound bath in California at this Kundalini Yoga Center. And I was going through some big questions in my life, like, what am I supposed to do? What's my direction in life? I feel a bit lost, like where to live, which country to live in. And we went to the sound bath, and I felt like I got a full body reset. like the sound, the vibration. If you've ever been to a sound bath, you know that it's like boom and it's loud and you feel it vibrating in your whole body. And it was like it nuked out a lot of worry out of my head and just tuned me back into the heart and to remember what's actually important. And it's definitely a very meditative practice that I highly recommend to try if you haven't tried it before. And the last little spiritual favorite thing that I love to do that I want to share today is using a pendulum, which is something that I learned when I educated myself to become a soul reader in soul realignment. We learned how to use a pendulum. And through the course, we went through this process of attuning our pineal gland in order to be able to read the Akashic records. And through that process, I learned to use a pendulum, which has been so incredibly useful in my life. Like ever since then, I use it for if I need guidance on choosing in between two things. And it is something that I recommend you to dive deeper into if it interests you. If you heard it now and you're like, oh, I need to know more about that, then do some research. Check it out. I'm not going to explain how it works here, but just mentioning that that's an incredible tool that I love. And all of these tools are actually that. They are tools. They should not be used for anything bad. They should only be used for good, for yourself, to help other people. And honestly, like to have fun, because the spiritual world to me is full of humor. Spirit guides full of humor. If you ever listen to Abraham Hicks, you know that the spiritual world is just super, super funny. So my friends, that is what I want to share to you today. A reminder that there's lots of tools to connect to your higher self, to the universe. If you feel like you're lacking connection, then grab one of these books or try out a meditation, go to a sound bath, explore, have fun with it. Nothing is supposed to be too serious. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is right. It's just what you want to do and what you want to experience in this life that we have. We have this one life in this body. We have many more lives as a soul, but I think in this body, only one. And it's meant to be exciting. It's not meant to be dull. It's meant to be exciting. We're meant to feel connected. We're meant to have fun. We're meant to have joy. I think we're meant to feel the whole range of emotions. But to, create and be kind to the people around us. Make an impact. So, my friends, thank you for tuning in today. Get back to me with your favorite spiritual practice. I'd love to hear if you do any of these things, or maybe you do some of them. Let me know in the DM, direct messages on Instagram, and let's chat and we'll talk next week.
Grunn nummer 39, 50% priskutt på bleier med
Hos Rema 1000 satser vi alt på å gi deg Norges råeste bleiekutt. 50% priskutt på alle bleiestørrelser og typer. Alt fra Pampers og Libro til Level. Maks 5 pakker med priskutt per handletur. Bare husk å aktivere kuttet I appen.
Rema 1000, alltid lave priser.